Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for joining me today. A lot has changed since singer Mary Lambert's big break in 2012. Back then, she was still bartending and waiting tables in Seattle. Mary got the call to collaborate on a song with hip-hop artist Macklemore. She wrote and sang the chorus on 2012's breakout hit, Same Love. It was a celebration of gay rights and identity, 3 years before the Supreme Court federally legalized gay marriage. The song was nominated for 2 Grammys, and it became an anthem of sorts. Here's Mary performing the song live.
And I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to.
Mary signed to Capitol Records and has released an album on the label in 2014, but now she's recording independently. Her music is raw and emotional as ever. Her newest album is called Grief Creature, and it takes on some of the toughest subjects that have touched her life. She describes it as, quote, life's work, my masterpiece, a breakup album to shame, an ode to mental illness, a love letter to hope. And Mary Lambert joins me in studio with a brand new song from her forthcoming album, Grief Creature. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun to listen to you warm up a little bit. You're going to play a song from your new album. What are you going to play?
I'm going to play the song Shame, which is kind of like the thesis of the work. And I released a collection of poetry called Shame is an Ocean I Swim Across. So the two works kind of complement each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Lambert.
Not your fault. 1, 2, earthquake. All of the people inside of my brain are divided and fighting. Say get over it. And shame is an ocean I swim. Across, across, across. You can't break me if I've already done it myself. You can't shame me if I've already done it myself. But I wanna come alive. Wanna come alive. 1, 2, dark room. Does anybody know the way out of here? I planted roses in the back. Don't remember why. 1, 2, forget the language of memory, the nouns, the hurt. I'm not a person, a place, or a thing. And shame is an ocean I swim. Done it myself. You can't shame me. If I've already done it myself, you can drown me. If I've already done it myself, but I wanna come alive. I wanna come alive.
That was Mary Lambert. Mary, when did you write that song?
4 years ago, I think. 4 or 5 years ago? 4 years ago.
What was going on that you felt that you had this in you and you needed to get it out and put it down in lyrics and then find the right music to go with those lyrics?
Right. Well, I say 4 years ago, but 4 years ago is when I came up with the first verse and the chorus, and I just wrote the second verse about 2 months ago. And the bridge about a year ago. So this song has been probably the longest duration of, it's gone through 5 different producers until I finally was like, oh, I want to produce this myself. But the whole journey of it has been really about a reflection of I have bipolar disorder, and there are days where I can't get out of bed. There are days where I don't remember what I've done. There are times that I feel like I'm sort of, I'm at war in my own brain, and I wanted a song that sort of reflected that. And also kind of being in the public eye, when you get criticisms, there's nobody that's meaner to me online than I am to myself, you know? And I wanted to be vulnerable and transparent about that journey and what that feels like.
How do you decide, because you are so open and you are so transparent about what's been going on with you, how do you decide what you want to share and what you think you might need to keep to yourself to protect yourself?
Mm. I have an issue with altruism. I think if I believe that a work I've made or something I've created will be of service to somebody or be of help, then I choose to share it. I've written just hundreds of songs, but I don't release a lot of them because I don't think that they're productive. And I just believe in sort of the civil engagement of writing and the civil engagement of sharing. And I do believe that these songs there's a sense of urgency to them. And for this song in particular, I think so many people feel alone. We feel like we're the only people that feel like we can't get out of bed. And so I wanted there to be some sort of, there's a glimmer. Like I want to feel alive. I want to come alive, and I'm working on it.
Describing the gestation period of that song from 5 years to 2 months to 1 year ago.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. You said it went through 5 different producers.
Yeah.
What wasn't happening in the production process that needed to happen for this song to develop properly?
I don't know if I could name it. It just didn't feel like me. And I think that's, with this release, I wanted more than anything to have a reflection of myself in the music. For so long, my voice had been translated through, like, albeit like very well-meaning, wonderful humans in my life, but straight white cis males that like had, you know, were at the helm of figuring out how to translate my voice to the rest of the world. And my background is in composition. So I want to express myself through the music. And then I realized there's so much to do in audio. There's so much to do with tweaking a reverb or making something really dry or finding the right crack of the snare. And to me, that was just so compelling to find my voice within, you know, the sound, not just lyrically.
Had you produced anything else before?
I produced one or two songs off of my last EP, and I just got the bug. I just loved it. And I didn't know what I was doing, too, because I just kind of went in and was like,
A little of that, a little more of that.
Yeah, push the, crank the knob. Magic.
My guest is Mary Lambert. Her new album is called Grief Creature. So in the production, what did you learn about yourself as a producer?
Oh, I have a sound. I didn't know I had a sound, but I really like my sound. And I've already, you know, I produced someone else's track, which I'm really excited about. And I'm working on producing somebody else, another friend of mine. And I know what I need. I need my own space. I need somebody that just won't give me any input because I need to control it.
So when you have a track, how long does it take you to produce a track? Do you know right away when you hear it, or do you need to have it sit and marinate and come back to it next week? What's your process like?
Yeah, I need time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why this album took 5 years is because I only started producing about 3 years ago, and I didn't know how to use, you know, a DAW, and I was using it, you know, a program for the first time, and so kind of trying to get my chops by, you know, learning the technical side of it was tricky. But once I sat down with a track, I have to try every single possible thing. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's the right one to choose. And so I think that's what's probably been annoying about me to other producers or engineers is because I'm like, no, I want to try all 50 of the snares. Like, it has to be right. And then I'll find one. And then I'm like, no, now I want to layer one of the 1,000 of them.
Was there at some point that Mary, the artist, had to say, yo, Mary, the producer, this is enough with the 50 snares, like those conversations, because one part of you is the artist, yeah, and one part of you is the producer.
Yeah. I think it was, you know, the last 6 months or so where I was like, I have to put this album out. Like, I've been sitting on it for so long. And part of it, I wondered, like, is this because I'm scared? Is it because I'm scared to release something this personal? And I keep, you know, the perfectionist in me is like, you know, keep working. It can always be better. And is that some sort of mechanism to you know, not share some of these really scary things?
How do you protect yourself, given, you know, you put a record out? I've had friends who've written books about very personal things, and then they have to go out on book tour. Mm-hmm. So you write these really personal songs,
yeah,
and then you're going to go out and perform them. How do you protect yourself? How do you keep yourself safe? How do you keep yourself even?
Yeah. Well, I had some little training from the book I released last year, which talked a lot about the subject matter. So
this is a poetry book.
Yes. Okay. And that collection, it was my first time really being explicit and talking about my trauma. And I had a hard time. I kind of spiraled a little bit. And so for this album, I'm not touring it. I want to take some space for it. I'm doing like a show in Seattle, a show in LA, and I might do one in New York. But I want to protect myself. I don't know what it's going to be like. And already how I'm able to connect with my audience and my fans, I feel so fortunate because I get to serve as this catalyst often for them. And, you know, they'll have experienced something really pivotal for them and had a song mark that. And so when I meet them, there's so much energy and there's so much emotion that they want to share. And I've had to kind of figure out what my role is and to assign agency back to them, because I didn't do that change. Like, they did that. And I'm glad to have created something that was a catalyst for another person. But the shows become sort of like group therapy sessions for sure.
My guest is Mary Lambert. We'll hear more from Mary's new album, Grief Creature, after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. My guest this hour is Mary Lambert. She's got a new album out called Grief Creature. And you are kind enough to play another song for us. What are you going to play?
This is a song. It's one of the only upbeat songs in the album. So naturally, it's called Born Sad.
Keeping my head above water is all that I know how to do. But it's kind of beautiful underneath it all. Ever since I was a child, was always a sad one. And why you gotta cry all the time, all the time? Keeping my head above water is all that I can do. Did anybody ever teach you? Some people are born sad. Am I just born sad, born sad, born sad? Oh, oh, born sad, born sad, born sad. Clinging my books to my chest, asking the pages, will anybody anywhere ever love me back? I got some secrets that keep creeping out in my sleep, asking my good God, will they ever go away? Am I just born sad, born sad, born sad? Oh, oh, born sad, born sad, born sad. Oh, 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 oh. Nobody wants to be happy. Nobody knows how to do it. Everybody wants to be happy. Get out of bed. It's hard to get out of bed. Sometimes I don't get out of bed. But you gotta get out of bed. We all get out of bed. You gotta get out of bed. But I'm crying and laughing at the same time. Crying and laughing at the same time. Crying and laughing at the same time. So maybe I'm born sad, born sad. Maybe I'm born sad, born sad. Maybe I'm born sad, born sad.
That is Mary Lambert. So Mary, this is from your new album, Grief Creature. How did you come to that title for an album?
Oh, it went through so many different titles too. Originally, I was going to call it, I was going to call it Shame is an Ocean I Swim Across, which is what I named my book. And then I was going to name it Horror Orchid, which became a mouthful and very different.
Horror Orchid. Yes. Horror Orchid.
I was having
rural juror. No, horror.
I just really liked the way that it looked on the cover, but it wasn't practical. And I just felt like this, like Grief Creature really tells a story in its title and kind of gives my fans a little heads up about what's about to unfold for them. You know, primarily since I did Same Love, I just have released pop music. And this is a far cried from pop music, and there are upbeat songs, but it's heavy, and I want to give some sort of flag, you know.
This album, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you started with Kickstarter.
Yes, yes.
So why did you do that? Why didn't you shop around to a label or to an indie label? Why did you just want to do this yourself?
I wanted to be in complete control, from being the producer to approving, like knowing where everything, where all the money was going and why mm-hmm. it was going there. And I'm just have a little PTSD from being on a major label, but I just don't want to do it anymore. And I just feel like it just doesn't make sense for me at this moment.
When you say PTSD, can you explain to folks who maybe don't know as much about the ins and outs of the music industry what it's like for a young artist who maybe doesn't fit in a box mm-hmm. to get on a mainstream label?
It's wild, because I think that was the biggest hurdle was, okay, how do we market you? Because I'm like this fat, queer, like bipolar, you know, loud person that
Lovely.
Does that does poetry mm-hmm. and you know, was on a hip hop song that does sad singer songwriter music and also writes pop music. So how do we market you? And no one could seem really to agree, but there was a lot of excitement about it. So I was always doing something. I was always going somewhere. And for like 2 years, I was just nonstop touring, nonstop in the studio. I didn't have a second to really to breathe. And I remember I was taking about 5 or 6 flights a week. And by like one of the millionth red eye that I'd been on, I wish the plane would go down. And I thought, this is what a tragedy that I finally achieved this thing, or I got this thing. This was right after the Grammys. We were nominated for Song of the Year, and I wish the plane would go down. And I just felt like I needed to change something. I needed to adjust. And it just didn't make sense for me to work with them anymore. And I the allure of being the gay Taylor Swift was really exciting, but I can't hack it. I don't know how they do it, how people like that do it. I'm just not like that. I want to be at home with my partner and my 2 dogs in the woods, and occasionally come to the city. I feel like I don't know if I'm getting older or I can't handle it as much. My brain can't do it.
My guest is Mary Lambert. What are your feelings about the song "Same Love"?
Oh, it's the best thing I've been a part of. Like, what an incredible collaboration! And it feels like magic when I think about it. I'm like, how divine was that? I was, I had just graduated college. I was applying to graduate school to be a teacher. I was working 3 restaurant jobs, and all of a sudden, I get a call out of nowhere that Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are looking for a hook. And it just felt like serendipity. And I went in that day. I mean, we recorded it that day. It all happened very quickly. And it felt like, oh, okay, this is what I do now. and then I fell into pop music, and now I'm trying to get out.
Is it all right? I love when you snort when you laugh. It is adorable. Is it all right for you to play? Can I ask you to play something?
Oh, yes, yes. I would love to.
Okay, great. This is Mary Lambert.
She says I smell like safety and home. I named both of her eyes forever, and please don't go. I could be a morning sunrise all the time, yeah. This could be good, this could be good. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
even if I wanted to. My love, my love, my love, my love. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm. What's your middle name? Do you hate your job? Do you fall in love too easily? What's your favorite word? Do you like kissing girls? Can I call you baby? Yeah, yeah. She says the people stare, 'cause we look so good together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. My love, my love, my love, my love. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm. She keeps me
My guest this hour has been Mary Lambert. The name of her new album is Grief Creature. Mary, thank you so much for coming in and playing such lovely music for us.
Thank you for having me.
This is All of It on WNYC.